blessings and glory. This morning, I'm going to be reading our announcements. Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesdays. Doors open at 5 p.m. Class begins at 5:30 p.m. in person and Zoom. Tithes and offering, benevolent, may be put in the box as you enter the sanctuary before service and or as you exit sanctuary after service. September 21st, 2025, today. Today Union is invited to Pastor Appreciation Celebration at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. The address is 801 West Market Street in Bloomington, Illinois. Pastor Williams will be the guest speaker. Time of service starts at 3 p.m. September 27th, 2025, the men's ministry will be hosting a breakfast chat at 9 a.m. at Denny's. That address is 701 Eldorado Road, Bloomington, Illinois. Any questions, please contact Brother Eric Collins. Coming up events: Pastor Appreciation Celebration at Olivet. Union Missionary Baptist Church is the invited guest for the Pastoral Appreciation Celebration of Pastor Damon Colvin. Pastor Williams will be the guest speaker. The service will be Sunday, October the 5th, 2025, at Olivet Baptist Church. That address is 1115 21st Street Avenue, Rock Island, Illinois, at 3 p.m. Those who are riding the charter bus, please sign up in the church office so you would see our secretary, Mamie Dudgeon. The UMBC Care Ministry. The purpose of the UMBC Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationships within our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by our congregation. Those are our regular church announcements, and we have an additional one by Brother Eric Collins.
Good morning, church family. September 27th, this coming Saturday at 9 a.m., the Union Missionary Baptist Church Men's Ministry will host a breakfast for the men and the young men ages 8 to 17. The breakfast will take place at Denny's Restaurant at 701 South Eldorado Road, Bloomington, Illinois. The young men's meal will be free. After breakfast, several men will share how God has helped to guide their careers. The breakfast will close with a prayer for the men and the young men. If you have not signed up for the breakfast, contact me today. Eric Collins. Thank you.
Really quick here, I just wanted to remind everyone, you heard that announcement about the 5th going to Rock Island. We do have a bus. At this time, we do have 3 seats left. So if you have not signed up, if you want to go, we do still have 3 seats left. If you have signed up and your plans have changed, please let the secretary know that you will not be riding the bus. The bus will leave at 11:30. They will be feeding us upon our arrival. We plan to be back here in Bloomington, Normal, about 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Amen.
Good morning, church. We greet you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. God's been a mighty good God to us. Let us adhere to all the announcements that have been given out today. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let me say that again. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God deserves all of our honor and all of our praise. Welcome you, those in the parking lot. Let us enjoy God, because He is God all by Himself. He's a sovereign God. Nothing before Him, nothing going to be after Him. Let us read our scripture for this morning. If you would stand. It's Matthew 22:37-40 from the King James Version. Let us read it together. Start number 37, says what? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. And while you're yet standing, let us do Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as our debts, and we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our ministry and music is coming to us now.
Thank you.
But I just want to say this. When I get to heaven, I just want to thank God. Let me say that again. When I get to heaven, I just want to thank God because he's been so good to me. And he brought me thus far. And he's going to carry me on. So let's thank God in prayer, because he's a mighty good God. He woke us up this morning, started us on our way, keeping us, allowed us to put one foot in front of the other. He's a mighty good God. Oh, holy God, I come to you right now with bowed heads and humble hearts, thanking you, Father, for being God all by yourself. Thank you for allowing us to be able to come to your house. We ask you, Father God, to lead us, direct us, keep us, Father. Heal us from all unrighteousness. Heal us, Father, from all sickness. We pray, Father God, that we walk by faith and not by sight. We lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge you, Father. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, who came and saved us from our sins. Help us, Holy God, to represent you, Father, in every moment and hour of our life. Everywhere we go, Father, help us to freely give as you freely given unto us. Let your word abide. Help us to go to and from declaring that Jesus is the way. Father God, we thank you for the raiment. We thank you for the food you put on our table. We thank you for letting us be able to open our mouth and speak. We thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us, Father, to be in your house one more time. Father, we thank you for the shepherd of the flock that you have sent to us to preach your divine word, Father, in season and out of season. Father, we pray for each and every one who's under the sound of my voice, that's standing here in your church, Father. Bless their minds, bless their heart, bless their souls. Father, before I further go, Father, I ask you, Holy God, to bless the word that's coming from heaven. Let it come and let it enter each heart, Father. Bitter or sweet, Father, to make us better servants for you, because you said you're coming back after church without spot or wrinkle. And Father God, We can't do it, but you can do it. And when we stand before the great white throne, Father, and when the Lamb books of life are open, let all of our names be written in it. And let us reign with you for all eternity. As the word comes, Father, from your servant, Father, help us to open our mouth and eat the entire word, that we may glorify you, that we may be edified in your divine word. This is thy prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Our pastor's coming to you now with the word.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Amen. The God we serve is worthy, not of some of the praise, but of all the praise. Amen. Amen. For truly this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. 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 We just have some reminders this morning as we go forth on today. We want to acknowledge that the administrative assistant position is still open. Amen. Has been reopened. Those who are interested, you can contact the office and get all the information about that. I believe it's October 24th, Friday, October 24th. Will be the 45-day deadline if you're interested in being the administrative assistant here at the church. Amen. Amen. On second Sunday in October is our Jersey Sunday. Amen. Amen. Our Jersey Sunday, you wear your jersey, invite your family, friends, those who are not attending church, those who are not saved, those who want to connect with the kingdom of God. Amen. You invite them on that second Sunday, Jersey Sunday. More information will be coming on about that. Amen. 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 That's October 12th, second Sunday in October. And then, as you know, some may need to be reminded, Mount Pisgah this afternoon, we are the invited guest at 3 p.m. Amen. 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 I don't see him. I saw him this morning. Brother Zach Collier. Amen. Is Brother Zach Collier available? There he is. Amen. Amen. If he can come on down, when he left, it was Women's Day. We had a lot going on, and he went away down to SIU Carbondale, and he's a student there at SIU Carbondale. Amen. Amen. And we want to pray for him. He left town quickly, and he said, Pastor, I'm enjoying every minute of it. Amen. 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 So we just want to say that we love you. We are with you, not just in our prayers, but in our actions. And we don't say this often, but I want to say this as your pastor, and I'm sure many members mean that way. As the Lord leads you and you complete your matriculation there at SIU Carbondale, if the Lord leads, we would love you to come back here to your church home and go to work in the kingdom of God. Many times we don't invite our students and our young adults back, but I want to say you are a young man. You love the Lord. You know who God is. And you are more than welcome to come on back. Amen. If the Lord leads you to Bloomington Normal and be a part of this church. Amen. You are not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today. Amen. Amen. Let us pray for our dear brother Zach Collier. Parents want to come. They are more than welcome to as well. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come right now thanking you for who you are, what you've done, and what you're able to do. We pray for this family right now that you continue to keep them strong. You just provide your grace, provide your mercy. And in particular, Zach Collier, we ask that you just touch him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And Lord, we know in this day and time it's more than just going to school. We even heard in Utah there was assassination on a college campus. But God, we know that we can't protect people, but you can. So we ask that you just be the shield, that you just be the protector, and you just protect Brother Zach right now, his comings and goings. And let this be a fruitful season. Let this be a meaningful season, that he's not just educated through the world standards, but he grows and learns, continue to mature in who you are and his relationship with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah Bibles, you like to stand. Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53, verse 6, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53, verse 6. Just keep in mind, this is a part of the passage called the Suffering Servant. Isaiah starts at Isaiah 52, verse 13. Amen. And it goes on through the 53rd chapter. The verse that we're going to talk about today is Isaiah 53 and 6. I will be reading from the King James Version. If yours sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. I'm just going to read verse 6 of Isaiah 53. It reads as follows. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all." Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Today, if you just give me a few minutes, I just want to share with you on this topic, the path chosen and the path provided. The path chosen and the path provided. On this morning, we gather to engage a profound and humbling message from this prophetic book called Isaiah. And our focal point will be on Isaiah 53 and 6. This verse captures the essence of the human frailty. We are fragile, y'all. And God's grace. Now think of this. It reads, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, like a mirror, this verse reflects our tendencies to stray and really puts emphasis on the redemptive love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And somebody needs to hear this morning that God, in his mercy, placed the burdens of our sins on Jesus, who was willing to bear our sins. One who would bear it would be Jesus, his only begotten Son, bringing healing and reconciliation for all. If I can touch briefly on three things today, is the first thing I would like to touch on is our tendency to stray. Come on, somebody, as you hear that, we have to look at our human condition and acknowledge that we have a tendency to stray. Doesn't matter who you are, does not matter how old you are, how young you are, we have a tendency to stray. And the next thing I would like to talk about is the consequences of turning away. Just because we stray doesn't mean there won't be consequences. The consequences of turning away. And the last thing I would like to talk about is the path to redemption. In Isaiah 53 and 6, this passage is a part of the suffering servant passage. And this section, specifically found in Isaiah 52:13 and goes all the way through 53:12 of Isaiah, this passage traditionally goes to the writer and prophet of Isaiah. And this time when this is written, there is political turmoil and moral decline in a nation that was founded by God, in the nation of Judah. And it may have been written during the time of the Babylonian exile. And this passage, when read with the right perspective, it offers hope for you and I as we spiritually reflect on exile and government changes. Brothers and sisters, if you've noticed and you've looked at me and you've heard at me for a while, I don't touch on politics often. But as we look at today, I hear a lot about who the president is and who the president is not. We hear Trump, we hear Obama, we hear all these other Biden, all of these names. Can I let you know biblically, Trump is not who we need to be worried about. United States is not the nation we need to be looking at and seeing what's going on. We need to go on with Hamas and Israel. Come on, talk to me, somebody. If you look at that, is the Bible has some prophetic words that Israel, because they did not, their ancestors did not obey, will always be a land until the fulfillment of time when Jesus comes back. It will always be a land under conflict. I say amen all the time. Amen, amen. And you need to look at this Hamas because they are there in that little old grove there. And they are over there in the Philistine territory of the biblical era. And Hamas and Israel have conflict. We don't need to be worried about Trump and his conflict. If you want to watch something, watch Hamas and Israel. Help me, somebody. Because in Isaiah 53 and 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of his all. And the reason why I bring it up is because it started with Israel, God's chosen nation, and they decided to disobey God and go astray through serving idolatry and idol gods, gods that can't see but they have eyes, gods that have feet and can't walk but they have feet.
If you read the book of Isaiah, it said, what kind of sense, I'm paraphrasing, does it make that somebody would go to a tree and cut off a branch and then start a fire and then with that same branch curve and carve out a god and pray to it? This is the kind of people that is Israel, and they're always going to be under conflict until Jesus Christ, the atoner, comes back and settles everything all. I stand before you, brothers and sisters. I know that the United States government and our city may concern us, but we shouldn't be watching that government. We should be watching Israel and seeing the fulfillment of God's plan. The verse, Isaiah 53 and 6, expresses a collective acknowledgement of guilt and spiritual warfare and waywardness among the people, using a metaphor of sheep that have strayed from their shepherd. This verse speaks to Israel's covenant relationship with God, in which repeated disobedience and idolatry. They could have whatever they wanted as long as they obeyed God and served him only. The Bible said, love God and love others. That's out of Deuteronomy. Love God with everything you have. Put God first. God must be the priority. Yeah, I know I'm not popular as a preacher saying that, but God has to be the priority. If you're not going to catch it, maybe I need to make it more plain. God needs to be number one, number two, number three. I'm going to keep on saying it until I get an amen. Number four, number five, number six. God must be the priority, because we don't want to slip up like Israel in our relationship with God and think certain things are okay, and then we slip into being disobedient and having a nation that does not know our one and only true God. Somebody has to say it. I don't mind saying it. The verse here, Isaiah 53 and 6, the verse presents the idea of sacrificial figure who bears, talking about this suffering servant, the sacrificial figure who bears the consequences of the community's sins. It's a message that helps during times of national suffering and times where we need to reflect and theological reassessment. Brothers and sisters, as we look at this passage of scripture, if you can look at yourself, I want to bring the first point that I said I was going to talk about, is our tendency to go astray. As I look at this talk about sheep here in this verse, Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep. And we're going to stop right there, and sheep are naturally prone to wonder if they don't have guidance. Sheep need to have boundaries. Sheep are a flock type of animal. They are herd animal. They need to be a part of the herd to survive, because out there in the wilderness, all they have is some hooves to protect themselves. Help me, somebody. They eat grass. They don't eat meat. Their teeth are not designed for fight. Their hooves are not designed for fight. They need a shepherd. They need someone to watch over them, to protect them as the wolves and the predators come. All are like sheep, who naturally and are prone to wonder if they don't have guidance. Somebody say with me, I need guidance. I need guidance. Yeah. Is there anybody here that you've looked at your life and you tried to do it by yourself? And you're like, preacher is right. I need God's guidance. He needs to be my shepherd. He needs to be my leader. Because if I'm by myself, I will go astray. Yeah, some of us don't like fences, but we need to admit we need fences. We need boundaries. We know limited. You know, if you just start saying anything you want, anything can happen. The Bible frequently uses this imagery to describe our spiritual state. Isaiah 53 and 6 begins with a universal truth. We all, like sheep, have what? Gone astray. So that means you look to your right, your left, he or she, they done gone astray. Look to your right, left, he or she done gone astray. Look in front of you and behind you, he or she done gone astray. Now we're going to say, ouch, look to yourself. You know that you are guilty. You are not immune to going astray what God's desires are. My Bible tells me that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. And he restored my soul. He lead me at the path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. He is the shepherd. I am his sheep. We need his guidance. Just keep on reading there. In Old Testament, Ezekiel, around that 34th chapter, 5 and 6 verse, it says, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. We are sheep, y'all. We need a shepherd. We need guidance. We need boundaries. We need limitations. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, Jesus, he had compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Why are you saying this, Reverend? It's because sometimes we need to acknowledge that we have a tendency to stray. And sometimes in our human condition, we get prideful or negligent to the fact that we can't make it by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. We need the shepherd to watch over us. We need the shepherd to keep us in the midnight hour. We need the shepherd to be our doctor. We need the shepherd to be our lawyer. We need the shepherd to provide our food. We need the shepherd to lead us by the still water. What I'm trying to say is we need God. We need his son, Jesus. Because all of us have gone astray. John 10:11, if you look at that, it says, I am, Jesus. I am. I'm getting happy. I am. I'm happy now. I am the good shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? He lays down his life for his sheep. Any witnesses in here that know that Jesus died for you? Allowed himself to be stretched out on Calvary's cross? He died for you. He's the good shepherd. He laid down his life for you because you need guidance, you need direction, and you're going to go astray. And because of your sins, he loved you so much that he gave his life freely. Yeah, I admit it, I go astray. My mind wanders sometimes. My eyes wander sometimes. My feet wander sometimes. Can I just testify? Sometimes I just ain't right. And if you be honest with yourself, is there anybody in here that's bold enough to say, sometimes I just ain't right? And with me, you need to just say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Hey, hey, hey. In this Isaiah's prophecy, some of us want to get quiet because even in this time, there were some people who got mad because every time the prophets came, they said something the folk didn't like. And in my early days of preaching the word of God, I used to want to have a good sermon when everybody's shaking my hand and high-fiving and stuff. Oh, that was a good sermon. But when you're preaching the word of God goes in and cuts some things. The word of God will come in your heart and straighten out your heart. And the word of God, hey, help me somebody. The word of God will go and change your mind. And the reason why some, including myself, get uncomfortable because we're just like that little child. We don't like it. We're comfortable with what we're doing and what we say. But God is saying, no, you are my sheep. I am your shepherd. And if you are my child, I don't want you to turn away. But even if you turn away, I'm going to take you and bring you back in. And the Israelites were often drawn away by idolatry and disobedience. They was just some stiff-necked folk. I can call them that because that's in the Bible. They were stubborn, y'all. I know there ain't nobody stubborn up in here. I know there's nobody stiff neck up in here, but Israel was stiff-necked, was stubborn. And this is a reflection of our spiritual journey, constantly pulled by worldly desires and constantly pulled by things that catch our eye. And I'm not just talking about the flesh, but some of us like the bling bling. Some of us like the big house. But if I have the big house without God giving it to me, I don't want it. If I have the full bank account and everything without God providing for me, I don't want it. Why? Because there's going to be some Assyrians coming. There's going to be some trouble coming that wants to tear up my program. And if God has given it to me, and if you are obedient to what God has given to you, when the storms come, when the house starts shaking, look at somebody and say, everything going to be all right. Everything going to be all right. Somebody in here sick trying to say how you going to shake this sickness. Say, Jesus, you are a healer. Shake it. Shake it. Shake it in the name of Jesus. All of us have needs, food, shelter, emotional needs. Like to have somebody to pat us on our back, emotional needs. We have some psychological needs, mental health. All of us need, but we need to recognize that we have a propensity. $7.50 word, I looked that up. It's in our nature. It's in our nature, y'all, to drift away. And it doesn't take long for us to drift away. Are we diligent in our faith? Are we diligent, or are we easily swayed by temporary desires? Brothers and sisters, easily we go astray. So as I leave this first point, reflect on the areas of your life that you may be wandering away from God's intended path for you. And the first thing is, you need to have Jesus Christ, his son, as your leader, your God, and most of all, your Savior. Because all of us, the Bible says, are like sheep that have gone astray. And what is the boundary for us? What keeps us? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I said I was going to leave point one, but before I leave, can I say, has anybody had a midnight hour? Meaning you've been up all night long, dealing and battling with something. You had a midnight hour. Anybody been through some valleys, been through some trenches, been through some stuff, and Satan done messed with your mind, said you wasn't going to make it? I told you weren't going to be here anyhow. You ain't good enough. Your daddy's this, your mama's that. You ain't got this, you need this. All of these distractions. But if you have Jesus, he will keep you and you won't go astray. Second point of Isaiah 53:6. If y'all just give me a few more minutes to work on this. Work on this. The second point is the consequences of turning away. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all like sheep have gone astray. It says, we have turned everyone to his own way. Isn't that what it says? You got your Bible? Still got your Bible open? Got that Bible app? Isaiah 53:6 said, all we like sheep have gone astray. The next thing it said, we have turned everyone, that's King James Version, to his own way, doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. Each of us have turned to our own way of doing things. You done turned. I done turned. Everybody done turned. You've even told some folk, I'm going to do it my way. You was even specific. I'm grown. And you gonna try to tell me what I need to do. And I'm not talking about 18-year-old grown folk. I'm talking about 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50, 60, 80, 90, 100, 110 grown folks. Who you think you are going to tell me? I got kids. The consequences of turning. Each of us have turned our own way. And Isaiah points this out to us if we really look at this and dig in this. This not only highlights individuality, but it also is a collective human nature to choose self over surrender to God. Because when we say, I'm going to talk about when I say I'm grown, got my own house, got my own vehicles, got my own kids, got my own rod and reel, I'm a grown man. When I start smelling myself, I need to be humbled by God, because here Isaiah brings out is, who am I choosing? Am I choosing my capabilities, my resources, or am I choosing surrender to God? Well, I done talked about me. It's your turn now. When you start smelling yourself and think you got it all together, you've been through that and you've been through this, you got some degrees, and after all, this is what you do day to day. Let me tell you something. God was here in the beginning, and you can't trump God. Anybody play some cards here? Yeah, you know you play some cards up in here. You're not more powerful than God. You don't know it all. Sometimes we get stuck upon ourselves, our experiences. But can I remind you that yourself only knows so much, and you have to surrender to God to see everything that God needs you to see? Because after all the stuff that you have, your job, your car, your children, your house, all of your experiences, you wouldn't have had them if it had not been for the Lord on your side. Oh, Reverend, you just talking to be talking. No, the Bible says, the B-I-B-L-E said, the Bible says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then what will happen? Then I will hear from heaven, and then I will forgive their sin and heal the land. Somebody over here need to hear it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Brothers and sisters, the consequences of turning away, we don't know it all. Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Brothers and sisters, God is a God of grace. But it is, can I put it this way? It is beneficial to recognize that our human nature comes out often, and we tend to entertain the turning away from God. We tend to trust ourselves and our resources and forget the God who has placed our feet on solid ground. Well, can we just do a simple morning reminder? Who woke you up this morning? Who put food on your table? Can I just do a simple reminder? The Bible said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Can you just do a breath check real quick? Yeah, if you sitting up in here, you got breath. It ain't your breath. It's God. I just want to remind you, it ain't you. It's all God. So turning away from God results in spiritual separation, is because we tend to be like Israel and think we got it all together and start doing our own thing, but we're walking in disobedience because we're not doing God's thing. And throughout the scripture, we witness the consequences of this, from Adam and Eve's choice to not stay on their diet, the Israelites repeated to be rebellious. Our own choices often lead to dissatisfaction, emptiness, and we're never satisfied. Doesn't matter what we do, we're still chasing that high. And I'm not talking about drugs, I'm just talking about pride, authority. We know it all. We just can't get enough. But can I tell you, just a little dab will do you. Just a little touch. It don't take much. There was a woman in the New Testament. She had an issue of blood. She couldn't stop it. It just wouldn't stop. Anybody got some stuff that just won't stop in your life? But she came to the conclusion, Jesus is coming by. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I would be made whole. And some of us need to use that as an example that we got some stuff that just keeps on flowing and just won't stop. Our attitudes, our troubles, our problems, our thought process. But if you can just touch Jesus, he'll fix you. He'll turn you. Yes, he will. So consider your choices that you have made and that you need to make God the priority. Not about your self-interest, not about what you're doing, but by what God wants you to do. I'm about to leave you alone and leave myself alone. I got one more point here. But can I say this? Can I just be rational right now? Everything that you do, you should say, God, I need your guidance. Before you make any decision, you need to stop and say, Lord, I'm praying for your guidance. Should I go? Should I stay? Should I be quiet or should I open my mouth? What shall I do, Lord? I am open and going to follow what you say. I'm just going to let that sit right there and marinate. Because that's what we need to do. In every decision that we make, we shouldn't say, well, I've got experience or I've done this or, you know, I've had children before, et cetera, et cetera. You know how we act. We should stop and say, God, I need your guidance because I know what I know, but I don't know what God knows. I can only see so much. I can look straight down the street, but God can see around the corner. I need to get one of them helicopters to fly around and have cameras on it and look around. But you know, our God, he sits high and looks low. He don't need to get no machine to see what's going on. He's the God that knows everything. All right, point three is I'm my own way. Is that the path to redemption is that we have to understand, despite us being stiff-necked and stubborn, our waywardness, God's response is remarkable. I acknowledge through this text that I need God, because when folk talk about me, I want to get them back. When folk miss, I know I'm not the only one in here. Somebody hit me, oh man, I want to draw up and give them a knuckle sandwich. And you know why? Because I say, I ain't going to be treated like that. But when I think about Jesus and how they treated him on the cross, how they talked about him and how they pierced him and how they nailed hands and said, I look at Jesus and say, I don't want to be treated like that. So thank you, Jesus, for being treated the way that I should be treated. So if you put up with the cross, surely I can be putting up with the little stuff to go on down here. God's response is remarkable. It says in verse 6, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He could have got mad at us, and he could have destroyed us in any way that he saw. But he said, no, this is my creation. I'm going to give him grace. This part of the verse points to the sacrifice of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus became sin. Jesus is the atonement for you and for me. The weight of our sin was borne by Christ on the cross. It is the life of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It's his ultimate expression that he loves each and every one of us. That's grace. That's redemption. When he looks at our turning away, when he looks at our stubbornness, and when he looks at us being stiff-necked and doing what we want to do, God says, I'm still going to give you another chance. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that Jesus saved me. And I'm so glad that Jesus has given me another chance. Is there anybody in here that's happy that Jesus has given you another chance? Yeah, he's worthy to be praised. I'm so glad that I don't need a dove to make me right. I'm so glad that I don't need a bull to make me right. All I need to do is call on the name of Jesus, have faith in Jesus, and he'll make everything all right. Is there anybody here that know that God is able? Is there anybody here that know God will make a way? Is there anybody here that's been sick and needs God to work things out? I know my God, he's able. I know my God, he's able. Is there anybody here that serves an able God? May the Lord God bless you real good. He woke me up this morning. May the Lord God bless you real good. Started you on your way. May the Lord God bless you real good. He lift you up. May the Lord God bless you real good. And started you on your way. My Bible tells me that they hung him wide. They stretched him wide. They hung his head. For me he died. That's love. That's love. That's love. That's love. Yes! For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, 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 everlasting. Anybody got it? Say, I got it. 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 Everlasting life. Talk about me if you want to. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Talk about me if you want to. I got it. I got it. I'm sick, but I got it. I'm worried, but I got it. I'm hurt, but I got it. What you got, Reverend? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Yeah! 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 Anybody been brought out some stuff? It's time to praise him. God done kept you in the midnight hour. It's time to praise him. He done lifted you out the mock and mire clay. He's worthy. Hey, 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 hey. Y'all excuse me. I got happy. Isaiah 53:6 is a powerful depiction of our spiritual journey. That we are like sheep and we have gone astray. But we encountered some consequences because of our sin, but we got Jesus who rescued us from ourselves, rescued us from the penalty of sin. And it's by the redemptive work of Jesus that invites us into a deeper relationship with God. Somebody say, he walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. Let us embrace the truth. And the truth is Jesus. And if we embrace Jesus, then our lives will continue to be transformed. Invitation. Brothers and sisters, we need to recognize that we need God. That means acknowledging that you need God is the starting point to everything. It's not by works. It's not by what you do. It's not because you are a good helper. It's because you are a good faith child of God through Jesus Christ. Understanding that you cannot live a spiritually fulfilled life apart from him.
opens the door to relationship. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I in you, you will bear fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. John 3:16 points that we must believe in Jesus, because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. We have to believe in Jesus. Then we have to repent of our sins and come before God, not before people, but before God, and say, I am a sinner. Lord, I am broken. Repentance means turning away. Don't mean I ain't there yet. You can't say that when you're done repenting. You're putting your hands in God's hand and he's getting you there. We have to confess our faith. That we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. He died on Calvary's cross. His dead body was placed in the tomb. Because of the power of God, he rose up early that third day. Is there one on today that believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord, is your Savior? On today. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You can come. You can raise your hand. Is there one, my brother, my sister, who would like to come or raise your hand? There's someone who does not have a church home and you would like this to be your church home. We invite you on today. You can come, my brother. You can come, my sister. If you would like this to be your church home, we invite you to come in on today. Is there one? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Say, man, God has spoken. Let the church say, amen. Let the church say, amen. Let the church say, amen. God has spoken. See, there's none, but still there's room in the kingdom of God. Will you please stand? Say, amen. Can y'all help us today? Can y'all sing that? Lift that up. Oh, let the church. Let the church say, amen. Let the church say, amen. God has spoken. Let the church say, amen. Brothers and sisters, we all have choices. We all have a pathway. Open your heart and our minds to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the path. He is the way. He will keep you and sustain you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come and submit ourselves to you. Keep us and sustain us. Lead us and guide us. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest with and abide with each and every one of us. Let us say all together, amen. Amen. Amen.